It's Mike Trenier. Mike is responsible for the Navigator work in Africa. So Mike is going to come up now and share a word of personal testimony and tell us a little bit about what's happening in Africa. Mike?
Thanks, Rod, for that introduction, and thank you all for the privilege of being able to share with you this evening. I think it was 17 years ago, almost at exactly this time, that I attended my first Navigator conference. At that time, I'd been a Christian about 6 weeks. I came to the university at Loughborough, which is in the middle of England, to study engineering from a God-fearing home and family. My father is an ordained minister in the Church of England. And yet as I came to university, I came spiritually confused, with a lot of ideas going through my mind, professing to be a Christian, but knowing that I was empty inside. And as God had planned it, in my first term at university was the time when the Navigators were led of God to start a student ministry in Britain. And the place where they decided to start was a little engineering school called Loughborough. And they had two inside men who God had placed in that school around which the ministry was going to be based, and one of those was in the same residence that I was in and became a personal friend. And through him, in my first term at university, I came to see that just because I was the son of a vicar of the Church of England did not give me a passport to heaven. I remember him pointing out to me that if I'd been born in a garage, it wouldn't have made me a car. And with that helpful insight, plus scriptural backing from the first chapter of the Gospel of John, I saw my need for Christ. And I had no sooner made that commitment that I got drawn into a Bible study, and I began to get follow-up and help and encouragement. And part of the help I got was to be involved in the preparations for this conference. And the idea was to try and get as many people as we could from this new campus ministry to this conference. It didn't matter whether they were Christians or non-Christians, we just had to get them there. So I remember going out with George Howard and inviting many of my friends who weren't Christians to come to this conference with us. And I went to the conference praying that many of my friends would become Christians. And several of them did. But as far as my life was concerned, something even more significant happened at that conference. I heard Doug Sparks, who you were introduced to earlier, speak on Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, the Great Commission. Jesus commissioned to us to go into all nations and make disciples. And Doug ended that message with the challenge of Isaiah 6. Who will go for us? Who shall we send and who will go for us? And he invited all of us at the conference to pray the prayer of Isaiah. And I remember with some fear and yet with great enthusiasm praying at the end of that meeting, Lord, here am I, send me. I had no idea what I was getting into. I'd been a Christian just 6 weeks, as I said, and yet God took me at my word. And as I look back now, how I thank the Lord for that early start in my Christian life, of being born into that kind of spiritual environment. The next 5 or 6 years of my life was taken up with chemical engineering, in part, but also with learning to disciple men and see them multiply. And then about the time that Chris, my wife, and I joined the Navigator staff, God in his sovereignty had sent a man into Nigeria. A man and a woman, Bob and Mary Torsig, they were in their early 50s then, I think. Bob was a veterinarian who'd given up his practice in a desire to serve God in the later years of his life. and had been sent on the American aid program to a university in northern Nigeria, a place called Zaria. And Bob and Mary had gone there praying that God would use them. And God did in a phenomenal way. And just in Bob and Mary's desire to help some of the students that they were working with, God gave them over 200 men and women who had committed themselves to Bible study. And Bob was climbing the wall. He didn't know what to do with it. He couldn't get his work done. And so he wrote to the navigators in Britain and said, "Help. Can you send someone out to help me?" And that letter was passed to me. Now, the person who passed it to me, I don't think had any idea that Chris and I had been praying for some 18 months before that about Nigeria. We knew nothing about Bob and Mary Torsig in Zaria. It was just God's perfect planning. And so, in the early part of 1974, I visited Nigeria for the first time and formed a love-hate relationship that continues to this day. I was absolutely amazed at the ministry opportunities that there were. I remember sitting in the university chapel at Zaria and looking around and seeing probably 1,000 students crammed into this chapel in the Muslim north of Nigeria. And of having the opportunity of preaching to them, of having Bob Torsig's office made available to me, and of having men and women queued up outside the office wanting to talk to me about spiritual things. I remember also the arriving at the airport with no one there to meet me. My telegram arrived, I think, 2 weeks after I left, saying when I was coming. I remember the lady in the little sort of communal small bus or taxi being sick over me on the journey. I remember my own tummy upsets and struggles and difficulties as I stayed in the halls of residence with the Nigerian students. And yet I look back on that time primarily as being a time of God-given relationships. One of the men I stayed with on that first visit to Nigeria has just become the field leader of our work in Nigeria this year, Chris Oliobi. What a thrill and a privilege it is to be involved in what God is doing in that part of the world. My own experience growing up in so-called Christian Britain was the feeling that somehow the Christian church was just about to be overwhelmed by the powers of darkness. But of course, we have the promise of Jesus that the church is built upon the rock and that the powers of hell will not overwhelm it. So although I had this feeling that the powers of darkness looked about to overwhelm the church, I could believe that it wouldn't happen, that the church would somehow manage to make it through. I got to Nigeria and I found that's not how Nigerian Christians were seeing it. And I realized for the first time that verse of scripture actually says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And Nigerian Christians have this perspective that somehow the powers of darkness might last out another few years, if they're lucky, from the onslaught of the gospel. The Christian church is growing so fast in that land and in many other parts of Africa. The zeal of Christians is tremendous. It's estimated that there will be more Christians in Africa by the end of this century than in any other continent. The country where I'm living at the moment, in Kenya, is said to have the highest proportion of church attenders of any nation in the world. The Christian church is growing very fast, but it's incredibly shallow. Many churches are packed full of people who hardly understand the gospel. Appeals are given and people come forward again and again and again with no assurance, no follow-up, no discipleship. The churches are full of corruption and nepotism and tribal strife. But as I've been privileged to be involved, I really believe that the Navigator work has a significant contribution to make in Africa at the present time. We've had a slow start. The Navigators have only really been operating in Africa intensively for something like 10 or 12 years. We're only working in 3 countries, and Africa has something 40 plus countries. And yet God has given us some fine African staff. In the next few years, we need to concentrate on positioning ourselves in the continent so that we have strong African missionary sending bases so that we can reach out into all nations in Africa in the next 20 to 30 years. Now, the challenge is tremendous. Just this year, although we've never been able to get resident missionaries into Nigeria, I've never been able to live there because we could never get the residence visas, but we've been able to travel in. Last year it became incredibly difficult even to get visitors' visas. And 2 of our staff were deported when they arrived to visit because of a technical irregularity, they were told, in their residence visas. So wrestling with these sort of difficulties, with political and economic uncertainty, with changes that happen so fast, and yet still the promise of Jesus is there. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples. The word authority, power, I came to understand what that word meant in just an experience that I'll share with you before I finish. I was in Ghana on a visit. I'd been several weeks away from home. I was eager to get home to my family. I arrived in the airport building for my flight home, Ghana Airways flight, with my suitcase and my briefcase. And as I walked into the terminal building, I saw 200 or 300 people. Bob Sheffield will tell you what it was like. He was there with me a year ago, not on this occasion. All these people milling around. What had happened was the Ghana Airways flight for the 2 or 3 days before had been cancelled. So all the passengers were trying to get on the one plane. I stood at the back of the queue thinking, oh no, you know, here we go again, fight and push and shove to try and get onto the flight. And as I was standing there, a man came up to me and he said, can I help you? He was a Ghanaian, and I thought probably he was one of these ticket touts who sort of go and bribe people to get you on the plane. And I said, well, I don't know. He said, are you planning to travel on this flight? I said, well, that doesn't look like it. He said, let me see your ticket. I passed him my ticket. He said, you will travel. And I did. He was an immensely powerful man. Not physically powerful, he didn't push or shove. He was the airport manager. he took my ticket behind and got my case checked in and my boarding card and my currency control and my immigration form stamped and my health card stamped. And we did it all in about 5 minutes flat. You usually reckon on about an hour and a half for that sort of thing. Then he wanted to take me to the VIP lounge to have a drink with him. And I was able to sit with him and share what I was doing in Ghana. Then the flight was called, and usually on such occasions, more boarding cards get given out than there are seats on the plane. So I was all ready to go again. He said, no, I've called the car. And sure enough, I went downstairs and there was the black Mercedes ready with a pendant on the front, you know, to drive me out to the airplane. The only thing when I got onto the airplane was the stewardess couldn't understand why I was only traveling economy class. But you know, as long as I was in that airport, there wasn't any problem that I couldn't get around or deal with as long as he was with me, because he was the manager of the airport. Now, Jesus is the manager of the universe. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So as we look at the future of the Navigator ministry in Africa, there are tremendous problems and challenges. But we have the promise of Jesus. He is the manager of the universe. And he has said, go and make disciples of all nations, and I will be with you always. Hallelujah.